Hi, this is Alina and Megan, and you're listening to Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, where we dive into all things health, wellness, and fitness.
We are two certified athletic trainers, personal trainers, and nutrition coaches who met and graduated together from the University of Arkansas. And we want to do this podcast to spread our joy about treating our bodies well through nutrition, exercise, and knowledge. Today on the podcast, we welcome guest Chris Freeu. Chris is a former radio DJ turned physical therapy student who is attending Baylor University. He lives in the Oklahoma City area with his wife, Carrie, and two pugs, Pistol and Boomer. Recognizing the need to be a good role model for his future patients, Chris has lost over 100 pounds in the last year through diet and exercise, and hopes not only to get people back to the most important things in their lives, but also to be a source of inspiration for healthier lives for all of that he meets. Chris is really special to me. He's actually one of my classmates at Baylor. And the day that I met him, I knew that he was special. He actually has just been elected as our class president, and there is no one more deserving. He is just one of those people that makes everyone that he meets feel comfortable and just feel more confident in themselves. So I'm really excited to share his story because I honestly didn't know the journey that he had been on when I first met him. So hearing his story was really inspirational for me. So we hope that you enjoy this episode. Today on the podcast, we have my classmate, Chris Freeu. He also just got elected as our class leader, aka class president. So we are so stoked to have you on and to talk about you and your story, Chris. So welcome.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
So tell us just like, obviously I just said that you are my classmate, but tell us a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, what you want to do with your life, et cetera.
Yeah, I want to be a physical therapist. No, I'm from the Oklahoma City area. I live in a small town, actually not really a small town much anymore. It's a bigger town, but much smaller than Oklahoma City. But anyway, right on the outskirts of OKC. And I've lived in the Oklahoma City area my entire life. So I went to undergrad at University of Central Oklahoma, which is in the town of Edmond, which is north of Oklahoma City. Now I live west of Oklahoma City. I grew up south of Oklahoma City. So I've kind of, you know, circumnavigated the entire place. I spent 18 years as a radio DJ in Oklahoma City and did that. It was kind of my whole first career, first part of my life. And it kind of been starting to go back to school for physical therapy back in like towards the end of 2019. And then the beginning of 2020, I lost my job. And it was kind of like, okay, well, I guess that I better stick with PT if that's where I'm already headed. But I was already super excited about it and excited. And the more that, you know, we do it, the more I love it. So yeah, that kind of gets you basically up to speed, up to 2021.
Yeah. So as a radio show host, you lost your job in 2020?
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't even COVID related. It was actually just it was a reduction in force. The company I worked for just got rid of a whole lot of people. And unfortunately I dodged a lot of those throughout the years, but my number finally came up. So
yeah,
I was forced out and had to refigure out my whole life last year, which was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, we all had plenty of time to do that.
Yeah.
So, okay. I have to ask, cause you obviously knew this was coming, but what the hell made you change? Like, those are almost the most different career choices you could do, like physical therapy and then radio. I mean, I don't know. Radio is not really like anything else, but what made you want to do PT like out of seemingly nowhere?
Yeah. So, okay. So back in 2019, my wife had to have a rotator cuff repair and she went through that, and she started going to physical therapy for her post-op recovery. And I would go to her appointments with her, and I would go just about every appointment and just kind of hang out and watch the PTs and watch the work that she was doing. And it just fascinated me. Like, it was just amazing that these PTs could basically, you know, heal someone and get them back to, you know, prior function or as close to prior function as they were able to get. And I don't know, just something about it kind of piqued my interest. I think I had been sort of looking for something outside of radio for a while. My career sort of dead ended because I wasn't really willing to be one of those people that move all around the country. I love Oklahoma. My roots are here. My family's here. My wife's family's here. So, you know, I've been kind of looking around for something else to do, and I started researching it and really just found it really, really interesting. And yeah, just sort of kind of kept going to her appointments and learning more about it and doing my own research about it and started talking with the therapists. And I was like, hey, I think this is something that I want to kind of look into. So I'd already had a bachelor's degree. And for people that are listening that don't know, in order to get your doctorate of physical therapy, you don't necessarily have to have a specific undergrad. It's just, hey, have a bachelor's degree and do good in your science classes. And, you know, obviously there's more to it in order to get accepted, but it's not like I had to go back and get a completely different bachelor's degree or something like that. So I just decided to start going back to school, went to a community college, took some prereqs and got on my, like literally had to take all but like two science classes. There's not a lot of science crossover between communications and the biological, the STEM sciences, they're, you know, the STEM. So yeah. Just the more I did it, you know, my first class I took was anatomy. And I was like, well, if I hate anatomy, then obviously I'm not going to enjoy being a PT. So that was sort of my test for myself and just absolutely fell in love with anatomy. I had a great anatomy professor, instilled a lot of love in it for me. And yeah, just kind of kept going from there. And every step along the way, I was like, I'll never be able to do physics. I'll never be able to do chemistry. And I sort of, you know, fought myself thinking that I wasn't as, you know, intelligent as I guess, you know, I don't know how intelligent I really am still, but obviously intelligent enough to get into Baylor. So, but yeah, that's kind of where it all came from. It all stemmed from her having to have a rotator cuff repair and me going to the therapy with her.
Cool. So yeah, go ahead, Alina.
How long did it take you to do all those prereqs? Because that, I know what kind of prereqs you need. First of all, they're not so simple. And I mean, I give you props. But yeah, how long did it
bad
take?
Bad props.
To do that?
So it took me, well, I started in the fall of 2019 and I finished up in fall of 2020. So it took me a year. I had to have, gosh, let me think, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 prereqs. It's usually 12 total, or at least for Baylor, it's 12, but I already had two that were, you know, like I had like my communication class we had to have and like a, I think it was like a basic psychology or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 10 classes in a year, all heavy duty, hard science classes. I actually really lucked out because the community college I was going to moved to 8-week semesters instead of 16-week semesters. So I was actually able to cram in 4 classes in the fall semester of 2020.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So I took 3 in the first 8 weeks, which was a nightmare. And I only had one in the last 8 weeks, which was actually really cool because it was like, oh, I survived 3 classes in 8 weeks. I can totally do 1 class in 8 weeks.
So you've basically been like priming yourself for what we're going through now.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's weird, like in a weird sort of way, like, it was like the universe is like, has just told me in so many different ways, like, hey, this is the right move. You're doing the right thing. And that was one of them. It was by force getting switched over to having to do 8-week hard science classes and accelerated learning and that kind of stuff. And so I just rolled that over right into Baylor. And they talk about how, oh, it's a lot of work and it's overwhelming and those kinds of things, but I've been kind of doing that for, 3 or 4 months. And so it wasn't like, this big surprise for me. It actually worked out really, really well.
Yeah. That's awesome. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Exactly. I just give you so much props because school is hard and you're like going nonstop. So you're going to come out and start, working. And I think you're going to be like, oh, this is amazing.
Well, I'm very lucky that I have a great wife, great support system here at home. And she's, super, super great about just letting me do what I need to do and giving me the time and the space that I need to get everything done. And, so we're both kind of in on this journey 100% together, which, I've told her several times, I'm like, it's so much easier that you're with me on this rather than fighting me on this, because you could be irritated and angry about the time that we don't get to spend together, but you're very understanding about that. And I'm just amazingly appreciative because it just makes my life so much easier, in terms of trying to balance, that school life balance thing.
Yeah. It makes so much of a difference.
It's really
having cool. That support system.
Yeah. Megan, you'd know too, because you're like that with Chaz. And I think what's really cool is like, you're going after your passion. Like, does it matter your age, your other things you've done, all these, you know, you were in something so different and you're mm-hmm. now deciding to go after your passion. But I have a follow-up question. Sure. And basically, as a PT or in that world, you don't necessarily have to be super active, but it is kind of hard on, it can be hard on your body. So I'm wondering for you, were you an athlete growing up? What are you active now? What are the things you do that maybe you think will help you as a PT?
Yeah. So I am like this weird, like athletic non-athlete. I did do athletics up until I was a freshman in high school. So I did like all the kids sports, like football, baseball, soccer. I think I wrestled 1 year, played basketball 1 year. Like my main thing was like football. And when I got to high school, I just decided that I didn't want to get beat up. And it was just not appealing to me, which is hilarious now because I look at high school kids now and I'm like, gosh, you all are so tiny. Like a few exceptions that will actually go to like college.
Yeah.
Like, why was I ever scared of high school kids? But anyway, so I actually switched over to band, drama, and choir. It was my trifecta. So I was really into the arts in high school. And it's probably why I, you know, one big reason why, you know, radio appealed to me, because my original intention was to leave Oklahoma, go to California, try to be an actor. Like that was my dream when I was like in high school. And my parents were like, absolutely not. You're not going to go to California. You are going to go to school here in Oklahoma. End of story. So I said, okay. And actually it was okay because when I was a senior in high school, I ended up meeting a DJ who worked at the station that I ended up working at. And we hit it off. We became friends. I started interning under him. And that was kind of my whole intro into that world. And I just kind of never left. So I've been doing that since I was, you know, 18. But yeah, so for a long time, it was not very athletic, especially when I got out of high school. I put on like the, not the freshman 15, but probably like the freshman 75. I've always been an overweight kid, right? Since I was like little, I'd always been overweight. I was always like the fat kid in school. And up until 2010, I just didn't really do anything athletic, no exercising, really working out. And there was like a short, you know, maybe 6 month span whenever I was in high school or not in high school, in college that I would go to the gym, but they just never really like stuck. And yeah, so I gained a bunch of weight. And in 2010 is when I started losing weight. And I started started out with just like walking, doing some like, you know, we can get more into the details of the weight loss if you guys want to, but
yeah.
I mean, I guess at this point, yeah, I kind of like start laying things out in 2010. Cause that was like kind of the big life change for me was in 20. Yeah. So in 2010, I was actually in a wreck. I was rear-ended by a drunk driver as I was coming home from work one night. I didn't really get that injured. I did have like some lower back pain from that and actually went to PT for that. And I distinctly remember one night I was standing next to our bed in our bedroom and I was folding clothes and my back was just killing me. And I sat down and I just like, I think I started crying. And I was like, I told my wife, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I'm miserable. Like I think my weight is the biggest factor here. Right. And I was like, I've got to do something about it. She's like, okay, well, we'll figure it out. Like, let's figure out what you need to do and I'll support you. And so I decided, you know, the easiest thing to do at the outset was just basic CECO, you know, calories in, calories out. Mm-hmm. And so I did calorie restriction. I would eat 1500 calories a day, which when you're 400 pounds is, you know, that's a pretty substantial amount that you're not consuming, but you've also got a lot of stored.
Yeah.
So I started doing that and ended up losing like, I don't know, like 50 or 60 pounds, I think. And my weight loss had kind of slowed. And so I was like, okay, well, what can I do to kind of ramp it back up? And so I decided to just start walking. And I would go walk around our neighborhood. And walking led to, I found Couch to 5K. And I started doing that and got to where I was able to do that. And so I did like some 5Ks, which turned into 10Ks, which culminated in me doing, actually, I did a half marathon and a full marathon, two different years, not the same year. By the way, my first and last ever marathon. I'm never going to do a marathon again. It was
more than me.
Killer. It was killer. It was, yeah. How I survived it, I don't know. But anyway, but in that time, I also met a guy who was into not distance sports, but what am I thinking? Like
Oh, like the Spartan races, things like that?
Yeah, or like triathlons. What would you call a triathlon? It's not a distance.
Crazy person sport?
Yeah, that works. Crazy person sport.
Crazy, anyway, ultra endurance. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Endurance sports. Thank you. Yeah. Endurance sports. So he was really into endurance sports and stuff like triathlon. And he kind of taught me how to swim and helped me find a bike and all this kind of stuff and got me into triathlon. And I started doing that. And that culminated in, I think, three different times I did. So here in Oklahoma, we have a race called the Red Man, which is like, it's an Ironman distance race, but it's not affiliated with that company, that entity. So I did three half iron distance races, three different years, which is crazy as well. So yeah, so I did those three races. And then it's been so many years that the dates get kind of fuzzy, but I want to say around 2016, I decided that I was done with that. It was such a time commitment and I just wasn't as passionate about it and as into it anymore. So I decided to start going to the gym, lifting weights. Did that for, up until basically 2020. And then COVID hit and we stopped going to the gym. And, you know, we would still exercise. Like I was working at a PT clinic at the time. So like I was running my butt off, you know, 3-4 days a week there. My wife and I would go for walks and things like that. And now finally it's, you know, we're about to get our second COVID shot. So we'll be fully vaccinated and exciting stuff. And we can get back into the gym and start lifting weights again. So it's been kind of this weird whole up and down journey. But in terms of my actual weight in the beginning of 2020, because I had been kind of up and down, right? So I had been, you know, my height was like 4 pounds. I got down to like around 300, 295, somewhere in that area. And, you know, through laziness or complacency or whatever the case was, you know, my weight would kind of fluctuate. I got back up to as high as almost 360 in 2017. And then I brought that back down, but it kind of always stayed like in that 330 pound range. And so last year, when I knew that I was going to be a PT, I said to my wife, I said, you know, I can't be this like overweight guy that's like telling clients and patients like, hey, you should go exercise and eat right if I'm not going to do that. So we decided to start intermittent fasting, and we had been doing low carb for quite a while, you know, keto or whatever, but we decided to kind of incorporate intermittent fasting into that. And so we started that in January 1 of 2020. And it was amazing. Between the exercise and the intermittent fasting and low carb, I've lost about 110 pounds in a year, in about 16 months. So,
wow.
Yeah.
We had briefly talked a little bit about this previously, but you just literally have the coolest combo of characteristics and skills. Like you have communication skills because you're a radio DJ, and you've also lived what a lot of our future clients have lived, you know, like the majority of our country, you know, could do with losing weight, especially like for not only just, you know, their metabolic health or overall health, but like orthopedic health, which is obviously what PTs are thought to do the most with. So is there anything like you see yourself doing as a physical therapist specifically, or are you just kind of like going for PT and then kind of going to see after you finish school?
So more that, I haven't really decided where I want to be in the PT world. I thought that pediatrics was an area that I was interested in, but I actually did some observation there. Like the PTs there, the facility, everything was amazing. Mm-hmm. I just realized that I don't know that I can be around like little kids that many hours a day. I love kids, but not like where I have to like constantly like, okay, pay attention. Okay, pay attention. Okay, pay attention. Like that's not, you know, and I love talking to people, right? And kids are awesome, but the conversation is, you know, not that in depth. So I'm not totally eliminating that from a possibility, but I just don't know that that's really what I want to do. I, like I said, last year I worked at an outpatient, just a basic outpatient ortho facility. Mm-hmm. And I really, really enjoyed that. I loved meeting, you know, our patients and talking with them. And because we worked with obviously everything from teenagers up through the elderly. So it was really cool kind of, you know, getting to have those conversations with people. And do I want to work an inpatient? Maybe. I've never done that setting, so that's a possibility. I don't know that I want to, you know, works with, you know, a specific, I don't know. I haven't really decided yet. Like it's all kind of up in the air for me right now. And I'm hoping that I sort of land on where I want to be. But if I had to like pick one, like I would probably say right now it'd be outpatient ortho, but again, I'm really fascinated, really interested in looking into inpatient. And actually, I think it would be interesting to explore PT with bariatric patients, because I know that's a big thing.
Emerging, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it's a specific area of practice, you know. You know, you work at a hospital and you work with bariatric patients. And I, you know, especially because where I've come from, like, I feel like I can empathize and understand what they're going through, mm-hmm. right? Because I've been there, not as big as a bariatric, well, some bariatric patients, I guess, you know, I very easily could have had weight loss surgery. I think I would have been a prime candidate for it.
It's wild.
So, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it is pretty amazing. If you think about like all the things you've done and now where you're at now, I really do think you can have such an impact on people who just are kind of in so many different ways. Like, you're sociable and then you can impact them with your story. So pretty cool.
Thank you.
What was obviously you had kind of like that breakthrough moment that night in 2010, but like what were some of the hardest times that kind of would set you back or discourage you, if you ever felt discouraged throughout that journey, or even now, if you are comfortable talking about any of that?
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, in terms of setback, I think if I am honest, and this is total like armchair psychology, because I've never like been diagnosed with this or anything like that, but I really truly believe that I have a food addiction. And I don't think that addiction is necessarily something you ever get rid of. I think it's something that you manage and mm-hmm. something that you learn how to cope with, but I don't think you can ever say that addiction is gone, right? And especially, I was a very emotional eater. And I don't know, it's hard for me to say like, you know, where the negative emotions were coming from, because I think they were in several different areas. I think that like, you know, I wasn't happy necessarily in my job. I loved my job. I loved what I did, but I was ready to like spread my wings and fly, so to speak. And mm-hmm. I just was never getting that opportunity. And so that was frustrating. I worked nights mostly. And so I didn't see my wife as much. So there was probably some sadness and depression there from that. And so, yeah, it was, you know, I just, you know, I would do low carb well enough to, you know, to lose weight or at least maintain. But I think that, you know, I would probably eat more throughout the day, mm-hmm. you know, snacking and things like that. And I think that you have a tendency to consume a lot more calories than you realize.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
If you don't track it or write it down, it's
right.
And people don't realize that. People think like, oh, I'm not eating that much, but
yeah,
it adds up.
You know, that was a component of it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, like, I can't pinpoint like a specific thing that was like, oh, this was a setback or this was difficult. I think just the whole thing was difficult, you know, mm-hmm. weirdly enough, up until last year. And I don't know if it was because I finally gotten away from the job and, you know, had kind of had just a different outlook on life, maybe. You know, I was at home all the time with my wife, and so we were able to support each other better. Yeah, it's, you know.
Almost like you were making enough other changes that it was just easier to just sort of stick with another big change. I don't know. For me, I don't know, at least it's easier. Like, if I'm already kind of overhauling everything, like changing careers, mm-hmm. changing, you know, how much I'm home with my spouse or whatever, I feel like it'd probably be easier to just like, you know, turn over a whole new leaf. Or again, armchair psychology, I don't really know either, but other things that were holding you back. So then let's talk a little bit about school. So obviously we only have one experience with Baylor, both of us, but what made you choose Baylor out of all the schools you could have chosen?
So for me, it was actually all about like, okay, I'm 38, I'm leaving one career. God love my wife. She's going to have to support us for however long I'm in school, because I won't be able to work. What's the quickest route to get back to the job market? Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I never thought I would be able to get into Baylor, not because I didn't think I was capable, but I didn't think that I would get everything done and be able to apply and get in for this cycle. So my original intention was like, I was just going to apply to a couple of, there's a few different universities here in Oklahoma that offer PT. And I was just going to do that. It was going to be 3 years and whatever. And then I realized as I was looking at like the application cycles and PT CAS and all that, I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually still within the application window for Baylor. So then I started like doing the math. I'm like, can I get these classes done? Can I get all this done in this amount of time? Mm-hmm. And I realized I could. I knew it was not going to be easy. I was going to have to bust my butt for a year. In some ways, thank God I lost my job because it gave me a lot more time to get school done. But yeah, that was kind of like the original reason I chose Baylor because I'd also applied to like South, which is another 2-year hybrid program, very similar to Baylor.
Knoxville.
Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee, yeah. But I was super happy to get into Baylor because living in Oklahoma, it's like, I can drive to Baylor. Like I could drive to Knoxville, but ooh, that's a rough drive. Yeah. That's like 16 hours versus like 4.5 from Oklahoma City. So it makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was kind of the reason, but man, I'm so happy that I ended up here at Baylor. Like I can't, funny enough, I actually just got a rejection letter from the University of Oklahoma. So I'm on their wait list, but whatever. But I'm like, well, that's okay. I'm in Baylor. I'm in an even better spot. So
yeah. I don't need you. Yeah.
I don't need you. OU.
Yeah.
but no, I'm super happy that I ended up here because it's just been amazing from the outset. Our fellow students are amazing. The faculty is unbelievable. Just the care and the love and the support that they give us. It's like unlike anything I could have ever dreamed of. So, yeah. You know, you can watch plenty of videos, you can hear people say it, but I think until you experience it, you just don't really understand like how truly amazing this program and this school is. So,
yeah. I can definitely attest to that. And just like the respect that I have for anyone involved in this program, like, I mean, not only the students, because obviously we're both experiencing like how heavy our course load is, but like the faculty, the care and the time that they put into everything and just like caring for a class of almost 100 people, like that's gotta be pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And they do an amazing job. So yeah, I mean, I'm just super impressed. Obviously I only have one experience, but I'm so glad we both wound up here because now we're podcasting with you. So
yeah.
Well, we like to ask all of our guests some special questions. And the first one is, what do you do every day or not every day? It doesn't have to be every day to move your brain and move your body.
So, well, right now to move my brain, I'm honestly, it's probably just straight up school. Like
your brain is probably my brain dead from that.
I get more excited when I'm not moving my brain because that means I'm not like sitting in my office looking at a computer screen, reading about physiology and anatomy and statistics and everything else we got to deal through. But I mean, outside of that, you know, I do try to read a little bit every night, just like something that's not school related, just like a novel or something. Cause I used to love to read as a kid and I don't anymore, or I haven't rather in several years. And so I've kind of tried to return to that and it's been really nice. I'm working on my sleep hygiene, Megan, cause it's really, really bad.
Oh, is it? Oh my gosh. Really? Like what? How?
Oh, first of all, I stay up way too late. I still have that night owl in me. I'm trying to get rid of it. I always like, I will lay down in bed and look at my phone until like I get tired and
no, don't do that. I know a lot about sleep hygiene.
Oh, I know. It's so bad for me. It's so bad for me.
You're doing a project on sleep hygiene. Megan used me as the...
Yeah, for our our annual PT visit because she's like a chronic insomniac.
For the last 5 years, I've been a pretty much chronic insomniac. So yeah. It was great for Megan. She could answer all the questions for me.
But as far as the moving my body, my wife and I, we love to go for walks. It's finally getting warm enough where we can go for walks again.
Yeah.
It's just a great chance to not only just like kind of get out and get some fresh air, but just sort of get away from these four walls. Because I mean, you know, she's worked from home since COVID started. I've basically worked from home. I was fortunate that I could at least get out to the clinic last year, but now that that's done, I've been in the house every day. And, you know, it's our house, but sometimes it starts to feel a little bit like a prison whenever you're stuck inside all the time in the same four walls. So we try to get out and go walk, you know, every day. You know, 2 or 3 miles. And then again, once we get our second vaccine here in a couple of weeks, hopefully back to the gym. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Seriously, I feel like I see your face on a Zoom screen almost, you know, every day of the week, but it's really nice to talk to you just one-on-one or two-on-one, I guess. So thank you so much for coming on, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it. And anytime, I would love to come back. So
Awesome. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast. Join in every week as we release new episodes.
Subscribe or leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts. If you have questions or topics to cover, please email moveyourbb@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @moveyourbb.